All right, starting here at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, this was God talking about the idea of love, answering the love question that was asked of him by those that were listening to his message. And he was saying that, one, you have to love God. Because really, if you don't love God, how are you going to love other people? Because you have to have God's love in you to be able to love God as he's expecting you to do as a child of his, the way he wants you to do it. So you have to have his love in you to do that. And that's why sometimes we just can't have a meeting and try to get a lot of things that we want and give them to people, let's say the public, to come in here and have something, we teach them something, without them really knowing God. Because if they don't know God, we're trying to teach them how to get along with one another. A lot of times they can't do it because they don't have the love of God to be able to get along with everybody. And so what we have to do is realize that first you have to get Jesus in your heart. Jesus is love. And we get him in our hearts, and once we do, then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts so we can love people. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Open 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. All right, now, let me have to do some things fairly quickly, so I'm going to cut through. When we're talking about this topic that we're on right now, by the way, this is the topic is The Power of Love, Part 37, and the subtopic or subtitle is Possessing Your Mountain. And when we're talking about that, basically what we're saying is that God's going to send us, he's going to gift us and give us talent, that we're going to go into a certain sphere of influence, a certain mountain, a certain area of vocation, a certain job, a certain company or employment situation. But we're going to go in there. Now, when we do go in there, we got to be aware that God sent us in there. And one of the tasks that we have is to not only be a vessel that God can use to speak, to represent God to people and to bring them into the kingdom. But he's also sending us in there so that we can take back the mountain that he sent us into. You just heard about the tragic thing that just happened in Paris. Well, this, a lot of what's going on in the earth today is going on because of the curse. And that the church is the only institution that is placed in the earth that has the power to be able to do anything about this. Now, what we can do is make laws and do all this kind of stuff, but you know what you can't do. You can't change a person's heart unless they want that heart changed. And so what has happened here is that when God formed a church, he placed in the earth the most powerful institution in the earth ever. And one of the reasons why he placed them in the earth, because they came in for such a time as this. Now, what we have to realize is that we are in the kingdom. And what has been happening is there's been a lack of the kingdom culture being perpetuated throughout the earth because the church hasn't been taught certain things. There has been an increase of darkness that has been pervasive throughout the earth, and I call it a culture of darkness that's been taken throughout the earth. And not only that, people start thinking a certain way that's not God, but also laws are made that are ungodly. And these laws are made to hold that culture in place. Now, you and I are here to actually reverse the curse. We're here to actually bring back people back to a place where they can be preserved, they can live again. And so you and I are coming to bring new leadership and new rulership to this earth. God is raising us up. He's planting us on purpose in the places of the wicked. Now, you and I go in there very obscure, just like Jesus. He came to the earth in a manger, and nobody expected all that to come out. But he actually shifted time. We even call it AD and BC. He actually shifted some things in the earth. Now, this church is going to be birthed in the earth for the last days. Upon this rock I will build my what? Church. And the gates of what? Hell. Nothing in the devil's arsenal will be able to stop the church's progress. And you have been chosen to be a part of the church for that hour. And if you weren't supposed to be born now, you wouldn't be born now. But you are. So that tells me that he has loaded something in you that's greater in you than it's in the world. Say amen to that. Now, when people took God out of it, then there was nothing left but darkness. And you know what Satan has been doing. He's been working to get God out of media, God out of the education, out of business, trying to work God, get God out of everything. But we started the Joseph Business School, which is a school based on the Bible. And it takes you back to putting God in the marketplace. Say amen to that. Now, with this, we are going in there and we're going to be witnesses in those places. But our witness in those places are going to be a little bit different than just trying to give somebody a scripture and make them get saved. We are going to actually perform. We're going to be a demonstration of God's goodness in those places. He said this over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father." If you remember, the Apostle Paul said it like this. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, he said, "My speech and my preaching are not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that their faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And what he is saying here is that Christianity was never meant to be dictated, but it was meant to be demonstrated. So there should be a demonstration, there should be a performance in your life that people will look at, and it will establish a platform by which other people want to know about your God. And if you go in the scriptures and look continually, God's people were distinguished by the covenant that they were under. And I'm saying the same thing with you, that this blessing that's on your life, the empowerment that God has in you, if you allow it to work, it will distinguish you among the Gentiles. It will let people know that you are serving another God. Now, as you start rising, the enemy's job is to stop you, because what he knows is that if he doesn't stop you, then you're going to end up shifting the culture that he is working so hard to try to lead into darkness and try to control that culture. And so even the political conditions, and I have some notes here to myself that he who rules the spiritual forces also rules political conditions, that every government should be subject to the church. Every government should be subject to the church. Over in Luke chapter 10 in verse 17, it talks about when he sent the disciples out, actually, to go out and to demonstrate the word. He said, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the who, devils, are subject to us through thy name. Well, devils are the ones that are actually leading people and influencing people and directing people's actions, and they don't realize it. The Bible says over in 1 John, boy, I'm going through these scriptures here, over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, he said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world is lying in wickedness. Another translation said the whole world is under the control of the wicked one. He says over in Revelation in chapter 12 and verse 9, he talks about the whole world being deceived. He said, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. So the whole world's being deceived. If they don't know God, they don't have light. And if they don't have light, they can't see the error. And so the enemy's job is to blind the minds of those who don't believe so that they can lead the culture the way he wants. So they think that to do certain things is the right thing to do. And I showed you that over in Proverbs, I think, chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. Now, so as we look at this, God now is sending you into those places. Now, in John chapter 15, verse 25, Jesus said something. He said, and I'm just going to read the part of the verse, they hated me without a cause. So you're going in there, and they don't like you. Now, they don't know why they don't like you, but they don't like you. Now, as you go in there, you have to remember that there may be ungodly laws. And we use Daniel for an example. And we said that the law was made during the time of Daniel, that Daniel was not to pray to any god. If you're going to pray, you had to pray to the king. And the Bible says over in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, once Daniel did this, they saw him, and the people told on him. And the next thing you know, they arrested him and hauled him off to jail. Now, they had made an ungodly law. And what I said to you is I said, in the last days, the justice systems of the world are going to be the number one target of demonic abuse. That enemy is going to use this, change the laws to control the masses. And so now you and I have to come in and stand for righteousness. Because one thing that happened, if you look at Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 33, and over in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 22, it says here something interesting, because this is whom we're going to serve. He said, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, and he will do what to us? He will deliver us. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Psalms. Psalm chapter 75 and Psalm 75 and verse 6. Over in Psalm 75, verse 6, he says, promotion for you cometh neither from the east or from the west or from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and he'll set up another. Now, isn't it interesting? I said, he'll put down a supervisor who doesn't like you, and he'll put up one who's got favor with you, or you've got favor with. My point to you is that God is the judge. Now, why is he the judge? Because he alone decides who wins or who loses. I said, why is he the judge? You see, now as you're going into a place, you're going into a place where they may hate you, but they can't do anything to stop you. Because the Bible says over in Romans and chapter 8 and verse 31, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And look at the next verse 37. He says this, nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, what am I saying here? Now, I'm giving you a new way of looking at your situation at the job. Because it's interesting here that Daniel didn't play the race card. It's kind of interesting here how he didn't say, wait a minute, I need to go to the EEO folk. Now that's all right. That's all right. But I want just to show you something here. Because sometimes the EEO folk take too long. My goodness. Boy, that went by quick, didn't it? Now, I want you to see this because you got to watch depending on a system that you're out here to control. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with EO, but praise the Lord. But I remember when we were on Lake in Pulaski and how the lady came into church one day and said, I need your help, Reverend. What's wrong? The drug dealers are taking over my block. I said, okay, get in this circle. Let's pray. Boom, prayed. Got some word from headquarters. Headquarters gave me the word. Take a bottle of oil, anointing oil, bless it and give it to her and tell her to pour it down the middle of the street. Hey, I just did that. Now understand, that is not what they teach you in school. That is not traditionally how you handle problems that are in the world. I'm just saying that what the church has been is too close to the world. We are trying to use the world's solutions to get our problems fixed, which a lot of times, even if they fix them, it may take 5 years. I don't have five. Jesus may be back in 5 years. What I need to understand is that God has a supernatural solution that can fix your problem in this week. Now, in this, I'm saying that what they did to Daniel is they put him in there. Now, once they put him in there, I want you to look at a scripture here. Because when they put him in the lion's den as his punishment, now understand, for not keeping an ungodly law. Now, there's some ungodly laws on the books right now, folks. There's some ungodly laws concerning taxes. There's some ungodly laws concerning people. There are all kinds of ungodly laws that had to do with slavery and all. It was ungodly. Now, what are you going to do about it? Because if you break it, you're going to get killed. Well, wait a minute, I don't want to get killed. Well, the only reason people will die like that, I'm not coming against anybody. I'm just giving you what God gave me. Because what happened in these last days, look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. These, the last days we're in. He said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put away and put you in remembrance, always in remembrance, pardon me, of these things, though you know them, and be established in the what? Present truth. Present truth. Present truth. Some revelation he's going to give today that he didn't give yesterday. There's some present truth that he's going to give today. That's why you got to keep hearing God. Because God's gonna give you some truth. Why? Because you got a new level of problems. He wants to give you some new level of wisdom to sign up. Glory to God. Not only that, let's look at the next one. Let's look at, glory to God. Let's look at, hallelujah, come on, Jesus, glory to God. Let's look at Rikisha, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. Let's look at that one. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, he says this, glory to God. He said, having provided somewhat better things for us. Let's look at verse 39 first and look at 39 and 40. Glory to God, that time went by fast. Didn't it go by fast? God having provided some better things for us. Say better things for me. And all the and these all having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise what did I tell? I told 39. Didn't I say 39? Come on, don't mess with me back there. And these all having better things for us, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect. In verse 40, God having provided some better things for us. Okay, fine. What I'm saying is they didn't have this. They didn't have this knowledge. We got it. We've got knowledge of the vengeance of God. We've got knowledge that would give us confidence that they couldn't get. They couldn't, they, folks, if many times they didn't get it because it wasn't preached. Now, I'm not saying it didn't exist. It just wasn't preached because you got to sit with God long enough to get it. And the preacher is supposed to get it and bring it to you. Say amen to that. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 1. Over in Jeremiah 23 and verse 1, he talks about a woe. He said this, and come on. I'm trying to follow this screen, but if they, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Lord have mercy. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that they came back and preached, we can't take it, there are giants in the land, so forth and so on. When they did that, the people believed it. And when the people believed it, that night, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1, that night they began to weep all night about what was happening to them. They cried, the people wept that night, verse 2 please, and all the church, the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we died in this wilderness. He said, and wherefore has the Lord brought unto us into this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children be a prey? Look at all this they're imagining now. And were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And what did they say? Let us make another pastor and go back in. So if the pastor is not giving you something that your flesh can hang on to, you're going to get mad at the pastor because he's going to bring the book to you and have you to walk by faith, and so you can go in and get your promised land. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm not backing off, because I see how you can have a church on every corner and in that same community have murders every night. That is not supposed to be. Can't you see what's happening? Somewhere, somebody not getting something. Because if you got it, it'll give you dominion and you can take it over that community, and the devil can't move. When she ran that oil up and down that street, she came back the next day or 2 days later and said, Pastor, guess what? They came out the next day for 1 hour and left and never came back. Now, what did happen? When you loose oil, the Holy Ghost is loosed. See, it's like the Holy Ghost in a bottle. And you loose the Holy Ghost. And once you loose the Holy Ghost, he'll clean everything out. You just loose God himself to clean out the community. God can stop every gun from going off. God can stop every person that's got, listen, God is God, man. And the thing about it is, somehow the church has gotten away from its trust in God and start trusting in the technology, trusting in the police department. Folks, they don't know what they're doing. Thank God for the people who are in badges and people who are protecting us and so forth. Thank God for that. But this thing is beyond that. This thing is beyond that, folks. That Taliban is beyond just having some trained soldiers. It is beyond that. It is a spiritual thing, and the church is designed to meet that spirit head on and stop that mess that's going on. Say amen. Lord, have mercy. So the last thing I'm going to give you, Jesus. So Daniel, let's just go back to Daniel real quick and just finish up with that. Glory to God. So Daniel chapter 5. Now I'm going to give you this. I can't go into all the things that will build you confidence today because I don't have time. But I'm going to give you this. And with Daniel, when he heard, when verse 10 said, when he saw the knew the, that the order or the law was made, then he went up into his house and he prayed, because this wasn't going to affect him one iota, because he's here to shift some things. And so they arrested him, put him in the lion's den. But when they put him in the lion's den, I want you to see something, because I want to just cover this. Verse 21, then Daniel cried to the king, O king, live forever. Now this is the king the next morning coming out to check Daniel out to see if Daniel was still alive. He said, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has what? Shut the lion's mouth, that they have no hurt for me. For as much as before him, glory to God, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, Daniel believed in his God. Let me finish this. You devil, you get out of here. Daniel had to maintain joy going through. I want you to get that. Daniel had to maintain joy as he went through that, because with joy, you draw water out of the well of salvation, Isaiah 12 and 3. With joy, Nehemiah and chapter 8 and 10, it is the strength. Lord have mercy. If you don't maintain joy, then you will get over into a place of complaining, over into a place, watch this, of glory to God. Come on. I'm rushing, man. That thing is making me mad too. But if you don't get over into a place of joy, then you start wait a minute, hold it. I want to think of my word. Then there is hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got to end. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo, wee. Glory to God. The verdict of what you're up against has already been signed and declared for you in heaven. And that enemy wants you to get into a place where no longer you have any joy, but you begin to complain. Man, I can't think of my word right now. I don't know why I can't think of it. What? Yeah. I'll think of it next time. You see the warfare I'm going through here, just trying to get this out to you. This is pure war. All right, now here's the deal. Daniel stayed with it. He stood. Once he stood, he kept his joy. The Bible says even Jesus on the cross kept his joy. And then once he got delivered, he got promoted. Yes. And now, not only did he get promoted, he got prosperous. Yes. So basically, if you stand, you eventually gonna be too expensive for the devil to deal with. Because everything in your stand that the enemy worked against you, God took note of. And Satan's got to pay damages. Everything that he worked against you on that thing. See, God is the judge. Because he decides who wins or loses, not your opponent. Say amen to that. And God has called you a winner. Give God praise for us. I just got to have more time. I was rushing through that, and I don't like to do that. But next time we won't have a skit like that that I didn't plan on having. But that's okay. It was fine. If you're here and need to be born again, I want you to get up out of your chair. Come on up here quickly and get born again. Praise God. We got to get out. We've run over time. Anybody here? You don't know the Jesus that I'm talking about? Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me. Anyone? Anyone, you don't have Christ in your life, you say, hey, I need to be saved. Come on, you need to get in a place where you will not be hurt. You will not die. You will not get in an accident. You need to have this same Jesus in your life. And let me tell you, I'm going to give you enough scripture so you can.